In China, it was a day of carefully staged celebration. China showcased its military and economic power with a parade marking 60 years of Communist Party rule. China's economy has continued to grow quickly despite the global recession, and as NPR's Anthony Kuhn explains, some experts say that that is partly due to the country's authoritarian system.
"Comrades, you've worked hard," President Hu Jintao shouted to the troops, riding in an open red flag limousine as his predecessors had at previous anniversaries. Later, China's elite troops, its latest cruise missiles and its new early warning aircraft, marched, rolled, or flew past President Hu in Tiananmen Square. The parade's message was that the Communist Party has succeeded in mobilizing China for modernization. Some scholars see a pattern here.
In the early stage of economic takeoff, you normally need a strong government that can mobilize resources, that can concentrate government priority to the sectors that are important for the economy.
Wang Zhengxu is a senior research fellow at the University of Nottingham in England.
In that case, one party or a more centralized system will have an advantage.
But it's not so much the type of government that counts, Wang says, as it is the policies. Wang says that Taiwan, Hong Kong, South Korea, and Singapore all saw their economies take off during the 1960s and 70s, not because of their authoritarian regimes, but because they pumped up exports and integrated into the world economy. Before China adopted these policies, its economic path was erratic, says Min-Shin Pei, a professor of government at Claremont McKenna College in California.
A centralized political system, especially one that is not accountable to its own people, can make horrendous mistakes. The Great Leap Forward cannot take place in a democracy.
The Great Leap, Chairman Mao's attempt to collectivize agriculture and industry, ended in famine that killed tens of millions. Tsinghua University historian Qin Hui argues that authoritarian systems are also good at concentrating economic gains in the hands of a powerful few. This forces average citizens to save more and consume less. Given equal GDP growth, he says, I believe that under a democratic system, more people will get a bigger share of that growth. Democratic systems, Chin says, encourage higher levels of consumer spending. In the U.S. case, this has led to unsustainable levels of borrowing, mostly from China. In that sense, the U.S. and China's different political systems have contributed to the current imbalance in the world economy. Of course, some American observers admire China's high savings rate, and they envy its government's ability to dictate important policies and sweep aside any objections. But Qin Hui says these people don't really get it about China. Whether on the left or the right, Qin comments, they're just using China as an example to prove their own views. In other words, some Americans use China as a proxy for criticizing their own political system, which they see as paralyzed by vested interests and partisan bickering. Envy of authoritarianism and disenchantment with democracy have been around almost as long as democracy itself, Chin points out. It happened back in the 1930s when fascism gained a few prominent admirers in economically depressed America. Claremont's Min-Shin Pei notes that authoritarian regimes are expert at dazzling foreign visitors with their massive spectacles, like today's parade or last year's Olympics, and with their gleaming infrastructure projects.
China can build the world's largest airport terminal, but China cannot really make sure it delivers milk that is safe to drink.
And while authoritarian regimes tout their successes, Pei says, they tend to squelch any discussion of the human and environmental costs of their blunders. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.